And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. We are going to cover my favorite program of the month. I have got a whole mess of secrets to cover with you. We are up to volume number 349. I want to start this with an article I got from the Gateway Hispanic. Bill Maher, he is not a conservative, he is not a Christian, but he brought up something that makes one ponder who's in control of the narrative. And Trump addressed this. What's going on in Nigeria is a genocide, but controlled media has been unwilling to address it. Bill Maher actually highlighted the fact that most people would prefer to ignore. More than 100,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria since 2009. This systematic and bloody tragedy has gone pretty much unnoticed by any in the press, national and international. As I said, Maher is not a Christian, but he emphasized the evidence. Radical Islamist groups, particularly Boko Haram, as well as other extremist factions, have launched a campaign that can only be described as a genocide. It is a sustained strategy of extermination from villages burned to the ground to over 18,000 churches destroyed. The goal is obvious: to erase Christians from the entire nation of Nigeria. Maher even compared the crisis in Nigeria to what's going on in Gaza. He said what is happening in West Africa is a far more evident attempt at genocide with a clear religious and cultural objective: eliminate the Christian population. Yet Nigeria remains absent from the global conversation. Maher says that controlled media avoids the subject because it does not fit the progressive narrative. He says the bias is not only concerning, but it is immoral. He said political correctness, the fear of calling out radical Islam, and the obsession of the elites with other narratives have kept Nigeria off the radar. But the massacre that's going on in Nigeria should be on the front page of every newspaper in the world. Religious persecution cannot continue to be ignored just because it clashes with the progressive narrative. Never thought I'd agree with Bill Maher more, but he said it. Well, we're over a month into the government shutdown. The demon rats refuse to negotiate. Trump is saying to kill the filibuster, to do away with the filibuster, which is what the Democrats wanted to do when they had control of Congress and the Republicans wouldn't let them do it. But there are so many people. If you've tried to fly anywhere in the last week and a half, chances are you got stranded at the airport because your flights were canceled. Air traffic controllers are sick and tired of working for free, and they're calling in sick. The blue flu. Now, they can't go on a strike because Ronald Reagan fixed that little red wagon. But if you're not going to get paid, call in sick. I'm sure these people have lots of paid time off. there was a very wealthy benefactor that donated money to pay the troops, the military. But there are so many government workers that have been unemployed for over a month. But you'll never guess who is still getting paid. Congressmen. There are 750,000 federal employees that have been furloughed. One of these guys, Senator Ruben Gallego of Arizona, a demon rat, has made it clear he will not be relinquishing his congressional salary during this shutdown. He explained to NBC News, quote, "I'm not wealthy and I have three kids. I would basically be missing, you know, mortgage payments, rent payments, child support. So it's not feasible, not going to happen," close quote. Now, there are a number of lawmakers who have voluntarily requested their pay be withheld in solidarity with the workers that have been furloughed. Kat Kamick of Florida, Chip Roy, and Keith Self of Texas have asked that their pay be withheld. Keith Self has urged all members of Congress to follow suit. Some Democrats have joined in. Andy Kim of New Jersey, he pledged to refuse his own pay should the shutdown persist. But not Gallego. He's got mortgage payments. He's got child support. He's got rent payments. He can't do without his paycheck, $174,000 a year. But it's okay for the workers that are furloughed to do without. I guess you see which side he takes care of first, himself. Well, this one came out a couple months ago. You know, Kilmer Abrego Garcia. That was a name that we probably never would have paid attention to if it hadn't been for controlled media labeling him the Maryland man for a senator from Maryland flying down to El Salvador to go meet with him while he was in prison down there. He's an illegal alien, had been ordered to be deported. And so we did. But there was such a ruckus, and Judge Boasberg, one of those that said that Trump, you need to bring him back, the liberal judges. Well, they did. Well, he has filed an emergency motion to reopen his immigration case. The regional deputy chief immigration judge ruled that the illegal immigrants motion is untimely because it's nearly 6 years after his immigration proceedings. The Department of Homeland Security said, quote, "With today's ruling, Kilmer Abrego Garcia's final order of removal stands. The MS-13 gang member, human trafficker, domestic abuser, and child predator will never be loose on American streets. His lawyers tried to fight his removal from the U.S., but one thing is certain. This Salvadoran man is not going to be able to remain in our country. He will never be allowed to prey on innocent Americans again. He was denied asylum status in 2019 during the initial removal proceedings. He was ultimately given a withholding of removal. That was the best they could do. Now he's on trial in Tennessee for human smuggling charges. He had 8 passengers in his vehicle. None of them had any luggage. They all provided Abrego Garcia's address as their own address. But he got popped. And then the FBI in the Biden administration sent news down to the cops in Tennessee, turn him loose. So they did. Well, now he's facing the music for that charge. The Trump administration is seeking to remove Abrego Garcia while criminal charges regarding his alleged human smuggling activity are going on in the Tennessee courtroom. The removal order prevents Department of Homeland Security from sending Abrego Garcia back to his home country of El Salvador. But, get this, the Trump administration could deport him to a third country, such as Costa Rica or Eswatini. Have you ever heard of Eswatini? I hadn't either. I had to look it up on the map. It's in Africa, South Africa. It is a little teeny, little nation to the east of South Africa, to the east of Botswana, southeast of Zimbabwe, directly underneath Mozambique. So he could go back to El Salvador, where he was born, but that's been thrown out. He could be sent to Costa Rica. I think that's too good. But sending him to this little tiny nation in Africa, that would be poetic justice? Goodness, I think so. Well, I want to get with this one. You know, California went all in on electric vehicles. Even though they have rolling blackouts, they don't have enough energy. They got wind turbines. They got solar panels out in the desert. They don't have enough electricity during high demand. But there are some cities that have likewise gone all in on these public transportation based completely on renewable energy. Electric buses. Ruter, the public transportation authority in Oslo, Norway, decided to run tests on its new Chinese electric buses. They got about 300 e-buses from Yutong earlier this year. They conducted a secret test on some of these electric buses over the summer. They used one from a European manufacturer and one from Yutong to check cybersecurity risks, and their test results were shocking. The investigators found that the Chinese-built buses could be controlled remotely from their homeland, unlike European vehicles. Ruter reported that the Chinese can access software updates, diagnostics, and battery systems remotely. In theory, the bus could therefore be stopped or rendered unusable by the manufacturer. Now, the bus can be stopped, it can be turned off, it can receive updates that will destroy the technology the bus needs to operate normally, but they cannot be steered remotely. And in the wrong hands, they could be used as leverage. Now, Ruter did reveal the buses can be disconnected from the internet by removing their SIM cards to assume local control should the need arise. Chinese electric buses. Remote controlled. Not in steering, but in power. How special. Speaking of special, HBO has a new documentary. It's 24 minute long. It's entitled The Devil is Busy. And they're shining a spotlight on an abortion clinic. But Hollywood, as they are sometimes known to do, say the quiet part out loud. They're promoting this film as an unfiltered look inside Atlanta Women's Health Clinic through the eyes of those who protect it. The directors are Gita Ganbir and Crystalline Hampton. They see the clinic's operations as a story of courage. But what kind of battle is it when the casualties are infants? What kind of heroism is it when the weak are slaughtered for convenience? The workers in this documentary talk about stress. They talk about sacrifice. They talk about rights. Not once do they talk about the child. Abortion is not health care. It's the murder of an unborn child. The fact that the industry hides behind euphemisms like reproductive rights proves they know the devil is busy convincing Americans this is normal. The devil is busy convincing clinic staff that they serve God when they actually serve Satan. It would be better for a millstone to be tied around the neck and tossed into the sea than to harm the hair of a little one. I'm paraphrasing, but I have never understood why it's called reproductive health when it's just outright murder. If you want to talk reproductive health, how about neonatal vitamins? How about taking care of the mother while she is caring for this child in her womb? It doesn't take a hero to kill a baby. It takes somebody evil to kill it and not have any remorse. Came across this. This was from Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge. He says, 2025 has been a great year for noticing things that would have gotten one censored, canceled, or debanked just a few short years ago. How about former Department of Energy nuclear engineer Matt von Swall noticing something that's been floating around for years? The insane number of minorities who are booked as white when they get arrested. I've noticed this. I've noticed it on local news. They talk about people that have been rounded up, arrested for whatever heinous, violent crime they've committed. And they call them white. Their last name is Rodriguez or Martinez. And it makes you wonder if they are not doing this to manipulate the data. Well, Mr. Van Swall got on Twitter or X. He said, quote, I searched through thousands of arrests in my county, and every single Hispanic individual who was arrested is labeled as white. In other cases, the suspect's gender or race were listed as unknown. How can anyone trust crime data when this exists? Good point. There is another account on Twitter. I follow them. They're known as Amuse, A-M-U-S-E. They posted, quote, this is the result of the way we define race. Hispanics can be of any race, white, black, Asian, etc. As a result, Hispanic or Latino is treated as an ethnicity, not a race. In fact, 93% of Hispanics are classified as whites by law enforcement, regardless of ancestry or self-identification. It's consistent with how the U.S. Census Bureau and other federal data collection works. We ought to fix this and include Hispanic as a race and include citizenship or residency status. Close quote. So is the classification system itself a problem? Yes, but California is one of the few states that separates Hispanic from white in the race category. But how much FBI data that is released that shows white criminals when they're actually Hispanic? How do you trust the numbers? You can't. But it's all part of the plan to create a divide among the races. And they need more data showing that whites are committing these heinous crimes to prove their point. Well, I came across this. There is a blistering new report from the Center for Heterodox Social Science. It found that after surging in the 2010s and 2020s, trans and queer identities are in sharp decline among young Americans. It's a shocker. It's a fad, and it has passed. Colleges saw the number of trans-identifying students cut nearly in half after its peak in 2023. In 2023, nearly 7% of college students identified as trans. Now, the number sits at less than 4%. And the report made a point that this percentage could drop even further soon. It did note that heterosexuality has rebounded by around 10 points since 2023. So the fad is over. Bud Light killed its entire beverage sales for naught. Oh, goodness gracious. Came across this. Canada. Well, Quebec in particular. Officials in Quebec want to ban prayer from public spaces. Now, they are mainly targeting Muslims, but this ban would affect Christians as well. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association said banning public prayer is a violation of religious freedom. Muslims compose 4.9% of the Canadian population. That's a significant increase from 2% back in 2001. Now, this policy may not target Christians in particular, but the Canadian government has forwarded anti-Christian narratives and passed anti-Christian policies. Under former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the government encouraged the claim that Christian schools in the 19th century dumped Native American bodies into mass graves, even though there is no evidence to prove this assertion. The Canadian government also put a ban on conversion therapy 3 years ago. It was so broad that the general condemnation of homosexuality and transgenderism could be considered violations of the law, a hate crime. Canada does not want God in Quebec. Does it want it in any of the provinces of Canada? If you contemplate the fact that Justin Trudeau could be the illegitimate child of Fidel Castro, which has been thrown out there, that would explain some of his atheistic policies. I don't know. Just mind-boggling that public prayer, they want to ban it. Came across this in Newsmax. A Black Lives Matter activist in North Dakota has accepted a plea deal after being accused of misusing nonprofit funds and passing them along to businesses owned by family members. Stop me if you've heard this already. Was Black Lives Matter meant to make the lives of black people better or just to enrich a few? I recall what happened with the leader out in California. Bought 4 different mansions, spent millions upon millions of dollars. Huh. Her name is Faith Shields Dixon. She founded Faith for Hope Scholarship Fund. She has agreed to plead guilty to 3 of 5 felony charges. Prosecutors allege Shields Dixon accepted $350,000 in grant money for her scholarship fund, intended to support low-income families. She funneled $124,000 to businesses tied to her relatives. These include her father's food stand, her brother's music and production company, and her sister's dance studio. Now, under the plea deal, her lawyer is going to request the charges be reduced to misdemeanors with a minimum 4-month jail term. But this is just the latest in a series of corruption charges leveled against the disgraced civil rights group. Monica Cannon Grant, in September, an activist in Boston, pled guilty to federal fraud charges related to allegations she and her late husband misappropriated more than $1 million in grants and donations. They held corporations hostage for money. And then what did they do with the money? They enriched themselves. They enriched their family members. Instead of doing what they allegedly planned to do. Goodness. In 2023, Washington Governor Jay Inslee sprung from prison an individual who is now facing nearly a dozen drug and gun charges. Inslee commuted the sentence of Percy Levy. Levy had spent the previous 17 years in prison for a drug house robbery. Levy sits on the Black Lives Matter Seattle King County's chapter board of directors as a treasurer. He had masqueraded as a changed man. He worked as a community outreach specialist for the Washington Defender Association and ran a car dealership called Redemption Auto. Levy was arrested on March 13th, earlier this year, after a traffic stop in Everett, Washington, and slapped with 11 Class B felony charges, including two counts of unlawful possession of a firearm, possession of a stolen firearm, and eight counts of possession of a controlled substance with attempt to sell. Each charge carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. This followed a 16-month investigation by the Regional Drug Task Force in Snohomish. Detectives secured a warrant for Levy's residence not far from where he was ultimately pulled over. They found 2,800 grams of powder cocaine, almost 15 grams of crack cocaine, and 556 grams of fentanyl, enough to kill over 250,000 people. And the bleeding heart liberal governor of Washington commuted this thug's sentence. Don't you feel safer in Washington state knowing that the governor was turning out violent criminals? Goodness. Well, this is something that hits kind of close to home. My brother suffers from celiac disease, which means he can't eat gluten without tearing up his stomach. And Americans have begun to realize that gluten sensitivity is a big issue. But other countries do not have the same issues. It's not the fault of the bread, but how it's made here in America. Michelle Visser is a Christian homesteader. She said, quote, in Italy, they had a pellagra outbreak around the same time we were dealing with it here. They responded differently in little towns in Italy. They literally built communal ovens. They encouraged them to use good grains and to make whole wheat bread. And Visser says that Norman Borlaug, the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970, is an example of focusing on the wrong issue when it comes to gluten. She said, quote, he had figured out how to manipulate wheat to give it a higher yield or to simply just grow more wheat for your buck. Every time we genetically change or breed certain characteristics into any of our food, we lose some of our nutrition. The bread that we eat has been stripped of the good stuff, inserted with synthetic stuff, and that is probably what's causing our problems. Vassar also noted we've also added more protein into modern-day wheat, which has created a Franken-wheat. On top of what is already Franken-wheat, wheat manufacturers are using pesticides and herbicides. Visser said, quote, if you are not buying organic flour, glyphosate is in trace amounts in your flour. It's there. If we are exposing our gut to glyphosate, we're killing the good bacteria. We've had gut problems in this country for many decades, and I think a lot of it has to do with this glyphosate in our flour. Close quote. I've talked about this in the past. There are so many things that we sell in this country that are banned in other countries that it boggles the mind. We are poisoning our citizens in the quest for the almighty dollar for big corporation. Big ag, big food, big pharma. They are slowly poisoning each and every one of us. And until we take a stand and decide that we're only going to put the good stuff in our bodies instead of this junk, this GMO garbage, we're going to continue to have health issues. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me some of your time. I have to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back into secrets. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you once again. It's that time of year. We are asking for your help for the Children's Home Project that we host this time every year. We really need your gifts to help us bless the lives of these children, these parents. And as always, 100% of your donation for this project goes to the Children's Fund. We support the Texas Children's Home in Round Rock, Texas, and they have a sister organization at the Boys Ranch out in Brenham, and these are very worthwhile projects. Miss Wanda started this many, many years ago, and we will continue to support this organization for the work that they do to help parents, young boys, children. It is a Christian-based organization. Now, this project goes on year-round. We do the Christmas drive, but we also have graduates that are getting out of high school. We put something together for them and also back to school. So this is a year-round project, but we always bring it up for the Christmas season for these children. The ministry financially support it as well, but we also use our own money to buy candy, to buy toys for the little ones. And every new member that arrives at the Texas Children's Home, we give a King James Bible to. So your help is greatly appreciated for this project. When I get the thank you letters from the parents and the children, we will post some in the newsletter. I'll read you some here on the radio because they really touch your heart. It fortifies the fact that what you are doing is really making a difference in these children's lives. You can make a donation by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Now, when you make your love gift, your donation to the ministry, tell us whether you want some of it to go to the children's home or all of it. We just need to be able to differentiate, okay? Say you donate $50 and you want $25 to go to the ministry and $25 to go to the children's fund. That's what we'll do. If you don't designate, we assume that it's for the ministry, and we need it too, but if you want it to go to the children's home, let us know, okay? There is also a donation button on the front page at powerofprophecy.com. They're in $1 increments, so if you want to donate $25 to the children's fund, type in quantity of 25. That's the easiest way I could come up with to allow you freedom to donate as you can afford. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Thank you so much for your continued support for this project. May God richly bless you. Okay, now let's return to our program. Today we are covering Secrets, Secrets Volume 349. Now, 5 years ago, there was a big push to defund the police. It was everywhere. 2020, right after George Floyd and all the riots, cities pushed to defund the police. There were politicians in D.C., in Congress, pushing to defund the police. The mayor that was just elected in New York City, Mamdani, he pushed to defund the police. But the Daily Signal put out a report that highlights how several liberal cities are coping with law enforcement shortages just 5 years after the defund the police movement began. Now, currently, these Democrats, including Mom Donnie, are trying to distance themselves from the now unpopular call to reduce police because of violence in their cities. The Daily Caller report listed areas that have taken some of the biggest hits. Number one, New York City. According to data from the New York Police Department, more than 1,000 officers left the department in the first 3 months of 2025. Mayor Eric Adams was forced to take steps in April of 2024 to restore some of the police academy classes that had initially been cut just to try to stem the bleeding. Council canceled police academy classes. Super smart. Number two, Philadelphia. You're blessed with Larry Krasner, a Soros-backed DA, soft on crime. The city of Philadelphia has the smallest police force since 1985. The mayor of Philly, Sherelle Parker. It's no surprise that the police department has been gutted. As of January 2025, about 1,100 vacant positions for police are on the books. Next up, Brandon Johnson and the city of Chicago, and before him, Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot. They're short about 1,300 police officers. This according to an article in May by American Police Beat. Coming in at number four, Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati was just in the news after a savage beating of a white couple by black thugs. The aftermath of the assault was equally insane. How about Police Chief Teresa Thiedege, who blamed social media users and reporters for sharing the video of the incident? Yeah, if you hadn't put the video out there, nobody would know that these white people got beat up. Councilwoman Victoria Parks got on Facebook. She stated that the victims begged for this beatdown and added she was grateful for the whole story. She celebrated the beating of white people. Coming in at number five. Yep, let's keep it in Pennsylvania. How about Pittsburgh? The city of Pittsburgh is headed to a 20-year low in police staffing. Their number of police officers has been dwindling since 2019. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Yes, there are corrupt police officers. Do they respect people's rights all the time? No. But can you imagine your city streets without a police force? Can you picture that? Can you imagine the sideshow of murder, robbery, debauchery, rape that would be rampant without the police force? Think about it. The citizens need somebody to stand between them and the criminals. They've tried social workers. Are they working? No. Criminals are going to criminal. And think about this. How many of those Democrat-controlled cities have strict gun control laws? They don't even want you defending yourself. They want it to be a target-rich environment, I guess, for the criminals. I'm glad I live in the great state of Texas. We have a Soros-backed DA in Austin. There has been a push by city council, full of demon rats, to defund the police here in Austin. Had a classmate that I went to school with, graduated with, played basketball, football, baseball. He was an officer in Austin Police Department. He could not wait to retire to get out of Austin because of this. So just consider that if you live in one of those five cities, that your leadership that has been voted into office, and elections have consequences, when they start canceling the budget for the police department, or they push that they're a sanctuary city and they take care of immigrants before the taxpaying citizens, Remember, if you voted for those people to be in office, you're going to get what you voted for. And there was a funny quote that Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, posted. This was November 3rd. He got on Twitter and he said, "After the polls close tomorrow night, I will impose a 100% tariff on anyone moving to Texas from New York City." Because the exodus of New York City is going to be crazy. I read an article about a real estate company in South Florida, in Miami area. Their closings have doubled this year, and we're in what, November? They have doubled from people from New York moving to Florida. When Mamdani and his socialists get in City Hall and they start taxing the rich, they start taxing white people because you are the oppressors. When they start taxing businesses, they are going to relocate to a more business-friendly state, be it Florida, Tennessee, Texas. They will relocate, and the tax base in New York and New York City in particular is going to be decimated. And if you stay, you will pay the difference. But New York City, you've been on a slow decline since you elected Bill de Blasio. It has continued under mediocre at best Eric Adams. You have continually elected less than stellar leaders for over a decade. New York City's current fiscal situation has an annual shortfall of $10 billion or more. The policies proposed by Mamdani, such as freezing rent, increasing the minimum wage, these are likely to exacerbate what's already happening. The housing proposals are more than likely going to backfire. There are going to be a decrease in rental turnover, and there will be a definite lack of incentive to construct new units. The proposals Mamdani put out there that people of New York City voted for have been tried before, and they've all failed. He wants to increase the minimum wage to $30 an hour. What's going to happen? Automation and job loss. Hours are going to be cut or eliminated. He wants to create a city-run grocery store. Ask Kansas City how well a socialist grocery store works. If he is successful in implementing a lot of his proposals, the decline of New York City will be rapid and it will be steep. Unbelievable. Here's something that's unbelievable. Well, I guess maybe not. This was in the Conservative Review written by Joseph McKinnon. He said the FBI was close to exposing the Clinton Foundation when key Obama officials allegedly stepped in. The current director of the FBI, Kash Patel, found a memo written in October 2017 detailing the timeline of the probes into Hillary Clinton's alleged pay-to-play scheme. The investigation seems to have been brought to a screeching halt by Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates with the help of other Justice Department and FBI officials. The scandal had big-time donors to the Clinton Foundation finding themselves materially benefiting from actions taken by Hillary Clinton during her time as Secretary of State. The memo indicates that on February 1, 2016, the Obama Justice Department indicated they would not be supportive of an FBI investigation. Then FBI Director Andrew McCabe directed that no overt investigative steps were to be taken of this investigation without his approval. McCabe leaned on federal agents to close their cases, and restrictions on overt investigative activities remained in place for several months. Even though agents were well-placed, they were busy digging, especially those in Little Rock, FBI leaders continue to set up roadblocks prohibiting agents from taking additional investigative steps or from reaching out to new confidential human sources. Around March 2016, Sally Yates apparently ordered the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of Arkansas to shut it down. Criminality in the Obama administration. Go figure. There's criminality in the Trump administration. There was criminality under W and H.W. and Reagan. We keep putting criminals in Congress and in the White House. Whose fault is that? Is it us, the people pushing the buttons at the ballot? Or is it us that allows a two-party system to control everything that goes on in D.C.? And when it goes on there, they control everything outside. Think about that. Oh, I came across this. This was, oh my goodness. This is one of the reasons that I did not allow myself to be an organ donor. And if you are, God bless you. You're braver than I am. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Health and Human Services Secretary, exposed a horror story in Americans' organ donation system. It involves a case in which a woman allegedly awoke while her organs were being harvested and did not live to tell the tale. Mr. Kennedy said, quote, "A family was waiting at the hospital for the body of their deceased relative. The relative was brought to one of those private organ harvesting centers, awoke while they were harvesting her organs, and then was brought back to the hospital where she died eventually. The family brought litigation, and that's the only reason that we learned of this story. We've taken the contract away from that company, and we're reorganizing it so that we will be regulating it and running it directly at HHS, and this will never happen again," close quote. She awoke while they were harvesting her organs, chasing money. It's the same every time. What does the Bible say about money? The love of money is the root of all evil. Goodness. Killing Americans to harvest an organ to make more money. They should be prosecuted. Not civilly, but criminally. They killed that woman. My. This was in the Western Journal by Haley Gomez. She says, California is facing a wave of deaths caused by drivers under the influence. Experts cite the state's soft-on-crime policy as the cause. In 2023, over 1,300 people were killed in alcohol-involved crashes in California. Although this is a 4.5% decrease from 2022, it is a 55% increase since 2014. Cal Matters did some research, and they found the Democrat-led state was among those with the weakest DUI laws in the country. First-time offenders faced fines ranging from $390 to $1,000, up to 6 months in jail. Probation is often granted, and a 6-month license suspension is typical. Drivers typically don't face felony charges until their fourth DUI within 10 years. California's laws allow repeat offenders to regain their licenses faster than states like New Jersey or Nebraska. In July, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California announced the arrest of a twice-deported illegal immigrant, Oscar Eduardo Ortega, on one felony charge. Ortega's criminal history included 9 arrests and a vehicular manslaughter conviction for killing 2 teenagers in Orange County, California. Ortega killed 2 teens in 2021 DUI accident and served only 3.5 years of a 10-year sentence. In October, officials arrested an Indian national after he allegedly caused a multi-car pileup on a California highway while driving under the influence, resulting in the death of 3 people. He lived in the U.S. illegally, obtained a non-domiciled commercial driver's license in California. This is why states across the country have started pulling over truck drivers to see if they are here legally, if they cannot speak the English language, if they cannot read English, they're done. They're arrested. Good for that. I told you in a previous Secrets that in Oklahoma, there were licenses issued in the state of New York, commercial driver's license. These guys are driving big rigs, hauling stuff across the country. The name on the driver's license was no name given. I even put a picture of somebody's license up on the webpage. No name given. And they still got a commercial driver's license. Goodness. When is the idiocy going to stop? Not anytime soon. Not anytime soon. This was in Breitbart, written by Joel Pollack. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation, very quietly, that will shield local utility companies from responsibility for wildfires and pass billions of dollars in cost to consumers and victims. The fine print in SB 254 lets Southern California Edison and other utilities charge consumers for wildfire damage that exceeds $21 billion. All three of the state's biggest for-profit utilities are helped by this. Now, critics have said that the fact Newsom and other politicians in the state have taken large campaign contributions from these utility companies is very concerning. They're in the employ of big energy. Now, Southern California Edison is widely believed to have caused the Eaton Fire, which burned the Pacific Palisades. They're saying that faulty power lines sparked and spread the flames in the Santa Ana high winds that they get. But by passing this cost onto the consumer, they shielded the electric companies. My. This was in Blabber Buzz, written by Lisa Pelgan. The Socialist Rifle Association has over 10,000 members and has been implicated in training socialist and transgender extremists. Recent investigations have linked the group to four significant crimes. In an apparent attempt to obscure their identities, the leadership of this group removed their names from the website following the publication of a report. Used to have the names and contact information of its leadership, but now it redirects people to a music video. But archived versions of the website from August 14th of 2025 reveals the names of the organization's leaders. The president, known only by the first name Hope, uses she-they pronouns, as do many others in the leadership, suggesting a significant number of tranny or non-binary individuals are among the group's top ranks. Members of the Socialist Rifle Association receive membership cards featuring a quote from Karl Marx, quote, "Any attempt to disarm workers must be frustrated by force if necessary," close quote. The members are known to stockpile rifles and other gear. A logo used by the group features a transgender flag with the phrase, "Defend Equality." Their training video suggests preparation for combat rather than self-defense. Among their more infamous members that have been linked to this Socialist Rifle Association, Benjamin Hanil Song, member of the Dallas-Fort Worth chapter, charged with shooting an officer in the neck during an attack on the DHS offices near an ICE facility in Alvarado, Texas. Paul Hyun Kim has been charged with setting fire to and shooting up five Teslas in Las Vegas. He's also believed to be a member of this organization. Adam Matthew Lansky, who allegedly firebombed a Tesla dealership in Salem, Oregon, was described in charging documents as a competitive shooter and a former member of the Socialist Rifle Association. He's skilled and well-practiced in the use of firearms in combat scenarios. Daniel Allen Baker has been sentenced to 44 months in prison for threats and offered a cash reward for information leading to verified identification of individuals involved in January 6. The prosecutor stated, quote, Baker has made multiple violent threats to those he claims are white supremacists, fascists, United States persons with different ideologies than his, and allies of the United States. In addition, Baker has promoted the killing of United States military officers, close quote. The group's activities and the crimes linked to its members raise serious concerns about the potential for further violence and the threat posed to traditional values and individual freedoms. Transgender, non-binary, militants, armed to the teeth. I'm sure they got body armor, bulletproof vests. How many in Antifa do you think are members of this Socialist Rifle Association? Makes you pause. Makes you consider. Okay, I want to finish with this. Oaklawn United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas, painted its front steps in rainbow colors. This is in response to a directive from Governor Greg Abbott, who opposed painting sidewalks in rainbow hues. This church is known for its progressive stance and describes itself as a long-standing inclusive faith community. The person who identifies as senior pastor of Oaklawn United Methodist Church is Rachel Griffin Allison. She said, quote, painting our steps in the color of the rainbow is a visible witness to the gospel we preach, that every person is created in the image of God and worthy of safety, dignity, and belonging. Close quote. Once again, a muse on X or Twitter rebutted this, said, quote, it is clear to me that Satan has taken over the United Methodist Church here in Dallas and across the globe. Close quote. But Amuse also pointed out there has been a decline in membership, stating, quote, thankfully, as it has embraced the LGBTQ liturgy, its membership has declined from a peak of 11 million to 5 million today. Close quote. There are a number of members and congregations who have distanced themselves from the United Methodist Church because of this shift towards liberalism and LGBTQ ideologies. What Bible is this alleged pastor reading from? Because it's not the King James. You don't include homos, lesbos, trannies if they're going to be full of sin and no repentance. They willfully lead that lifestyle. And it is a mockery of what the Bible teaches. Goodness. I'm at a loss for words. Because putting up with that, inclusivity. If you repent and you come to know Jesus, praise God. But you cannot continue in that lifestyle when the Bible tells us that it is an abomination. Well, friends, that's going to take care of this week's secrets. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. Please get out there. Spread God's holy word. We have to take the bull by the horns. We cannot allow these fake pastors to continue to pervert God's word. And I pray that you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.